You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com.
Welcome to the Huntivore Podcast, powered by Sportsman's Empire, where we celebrate the hunting and fishing lifestyle through the utilization and consumption of our wild game. No egos.
Fork in hand, beer in the other.
No status.
A piece of red meat on a hot grill and turn it into a burnt offering.
Just catch it, cut it, cook it.
This is episode 144, Freezer Inventory and Consolidation. On this episode of Huntivore, Nick is on a wild ride of life, work, and family. Spring break is around the corner, and plans to put more pork away is coming up fast. For many of us who have spring hunts and bounty to store, consolidating and organizing our freezers is a must. Is it species-specific, or is it muscle-specific? How do I handle odd-shaped cuts? Can I make accessing specific pieces easier? These are all questions that get covered on this episode of Huntivore. Well, hey, folks. Beautiful afternoon here in Michigan. Crazy afternoon here in Michigan. This is one of those rushed recordings where, it's just me. But I did feel like today's episode is pretty relevant to, I think, what a lot of us are going through. We're in, personally in my life, we're here at the last week before spring break for students and for my kids. And I tell you what, emotions are high. Excitement is through the roof. And it's more or less just buckling up every day at work this week. Just being ready for outbursts, being ready for tears, being ready for insane amounts of screaming and excitement. That's a quick look into my life professionally as a PE teacher. It's a job that I would never give up for anything, but at the same time, it takes every little bit of patience, understanding, and restraint, especially at this point, to make sure that I keep myself cool, calm, and collected and get the game or lesson that we're trying to get across to them to be successful. So anyway, cheers to being done with that. Here we are. I got one more day on the job with the kiddos. So spring break is right around the corner. And with spring break comes a little bit of R&R. Not just as a family, but I also get to join some of our Sportsman's Empire fellows down in Oklahoma. This is going to be the second hog hunt that John is putting on. He's the Oklahoma podcast running here on Sportsman's Empire as well. And again, he has graciously invited down any and all hosts to come and join him. It's a great way for us to connect instead of Zoom, instead of seeing people on screen. We get to now network and just get to catch up face to face. We get a chance to hunt and do our passion. We're chasing pigs again. And John was impressed last year. We are planning on doing a little bit of a clinic, and he wants some pork chops off those pigs this year. So we're going to do a full pork chop session once we get down there, going just a little bit beyond quartering and being able to make some chops. I feel like I've really winning over an Oklahoma native in this part where they would shoot, shovel, and just leave it there and not really care about the product that they were wasting at that point. To them, it just wasn't palatable. But at the same time, shedding a little bit of light on that you know, me coming from the North Woods and having a chance to chase that, being securely in the whole mindset of waste not, want not, I've been able to show them that this is beautiful pork if you get one of those spring hogs out in front of you. So that's the goal again, is we're going to be trying to drop a bunch of pigs, and I'm sure you're going to hear more information as it develops when it comes to that hunt specifically. But going down and being able to now bring back more pork, I now come to that season-long. Sometimes it's fall for some guys. For me, it's spring, and I think for people that are going to be chasing turkeys, they're going to also want to do the same thing. But we've got our freezer inventory and consolidation time to happen. This is a great time for us to get to the freezer, organize, see what we have left from a winter-long of cooking and consuming our deer or our elk or whatever we had from our past year. This is a great opportunity for us to take a quick inventory, see what's there, see what needs to get moved and adjusted, see how we can better organize, and at the same time, maybe there's a better way that we can store this. Maybe there's a better way. Maybe I can take some of these odd cuts, get them in a different form, and then get those back into the freezer. So yeah, we're going to go through kind of like what my game plan is for my own consolidation, and maybe some of these tips will be able to help you. In the case of my freezer and refrigerator setup, I do have the main refrigerator that's in the house, and that is going to look like any domestic refrigerator that is out there. I try to keep a lot of my wild game storage out of that because that's where it's our quick access. That's our quick grab and go. Most of my ground is going to be held in the other freezers, but I will then move 3 or 4 or maybe even 5 pounds of ground to the freezer inside so that when we do decide it is time to have burgers or it's time to have spaghetti, it's time to have whatever we need the ground for. It's merely open up that freezer, quick access, and ready to go. I also keep in those freezer all the stuff from the Schwann's Man. I don't know if anybody still gets the Schwann's Man. We do. And so we've got our like pre-cooked stuff in there, your breaded chicken patties, your nuggets, your chicken fries. I mean, shoot, we're just as bad as anybody else when it comes to that stuff. Sometimes, you know, a good cordon bleu that I don't have to make, that I don't have to do, that I can get straight into the pre-made to the either the microwave or into the oven. Like sometimes that's just nice to be able to do in that quick pinch. So that's what holds a lot of our stuff. The bulk of the bounty is going to be in my garage freezers. I have 2 garage freezers. I have an upright and I have a 6-foot. Nope, let me take that back. It's a 4-foot, sorry. So I have a 4-foot deep freeze chest freezer in the garage, and I also have my upright 5-shelf freezer. Both of those house all of our meat when it comes to wild game and even domestic, be it, you know, turkey parts that I've got from the farm. I've got those in there. All my wild game is stored in those. So again, it's merely walking out to the garage and getting things out of those freezers. So I have those 2 on standby. And then in my shop, essentially what would be the butcher shop or the cut shop, the animal goes there to my detached garage where I've got, at that point, that's where the deer and beer fridge is, the illustrious deer and beer fridge that does a lot of heavy lifting come October, does a lot of heavy lifting during season, whether it be waterfowl, whether it be turkey. I know my friends that they need help, some butchering. I have that just at the ready because you get a warm day and they need to chill something down. I just try to have that ready to go. And so that's a quick place that we could, you know, you down a doe and it's 65 degrees still out and it's going to be warm. Like we can quarter it, get it into that refrigerator, and at least that's going to be able to hold it at a, you know, cooler temp than what it is outside. Is it still a residential fridge and putting a whole animal inside of it? Is that going to tax that system? Absolutely. In fact, that fridge has been fully taxed out. I'm now having compressor issues with that refrigerator. I got it for $100. It has served me well for, I think 5-6 years now as it is. It just needs to get picked up by the consumer's man. We're just going to drop it off to him, have it go to scrap, and we'll just replace it with another $100 fridge just to continue to keep on going. It was popping my circuits, and that's really kind of where it was, is I was having to babysit that. When that compressor would kick on and start really doing some work, it would pop the circuit, and then I would come down later and see that everything on that circuit was dead, and so then I just had to keep on babysitting that. So I was done babysitting, and we got rid of that, which means the fridge is gone, which means that little refrigerator, or excuse me, that little freezer attached that you normally held some wild game, that is no longer in my inventory. So I am out that freezer and I'm out that refrigerator. But that was more or less a plan, because now we just need to get a brand new one, or at least we just need to get another $100 fridge. The other thing that I have at my disposal is now becoming the standby for larger cuts, and that is my 8-foot chest freezer that I have acquired from the turkey farm. There was a turnover in generational freezers. They got brand new freezers down there. And so, being the waste not, want not kind of person I am, I'm like, hey, what's happening with this freezer? May I borrow it? Yes, you may take that up to your shop. It has served as both my carryover, so things that I cut up right there in the shop that need to get immediately put into the freezer so that we can then begin transferring that up to the garage. That is a great spot for it. What I have also used it was primarily going to be a cooler, not a freezer. I got, and I want to say the brand was Bluebird. I'll have to find that out again. But I got a Bluebird thermostat controller that essentially runs its own thermostat inside of whatever vessel you are. And then depending on what your settings are, you can set it as cold as you like or as warm as you'd like. And you'd put those thresholds on that unit. It will turn on power to the unit or will turn the power off. And that was wonderful for when I arrived back from Oklahoma last year and had 4 pigs that needed to get chilled down. That they had done some air hanging. They had been in a cooler with ice to try and keep that temperature low. But when I got them home, that meat still needed to continue chilling. That meat needed to go and be... firmed up. It needed to be set. That's what I was trying to say. That meat needed to set and be firm so that we could then continue the butchering and have wonderful sharp cuts. So that's why I got that controller and that 8-foot freezer. And currently, the 8-foot freezer is beginning to fill up. I'm starting to, my last year, I got my buck, and then I got that other doe, and both of those are a bit scattered inside of that freezer. Using all of these cuts, digging around, trying to find the cut that I'm looking for, the cut that I singled out that I wanted to use, it's gotten to a point now where each of my 3 freezers is in a bit of disarray. The upright freezer, I did have a seal problem either A, one of my children, or B, hopefully not my wife. I think I've got her pretty much programmed when it comes to the upright freezer, making sure that door is seated tight. But happened this past fall, it was cracked open a little bit, and I just had frost build up all on the inside of it. So what I had to do is let it defrost. I got all my bins out. I have everything in bins in that freezer to hold things together. Pulled those out, got those back to a safe freezer. Let that all thaw out, let that all drain out, wipe out, did the whole number on it, and I brought back some of the bins, and I didn't fully fill that freezer yet back up. So that freezer is like half full right now. Then I have my 4-foot chest freezer in the garage. That is my go-to, kind of pulling stuff in and out. Again, through all that rummaging and moving around, disarray has happened again. The laziness of me gumming and grabbing a piece of shoulder, digging around, finding my top round, but then yet not putting everything back where it should have. We now have a tossed in mess of pieces that are still there. Can it be worked around? Yes, I've got nice labeling on everything. The Sharpie is put on each one, so you make sure that you know what you got in the package. But at the same time, like, the disarray now is, we need that full on reset. So that's what we're going to be able to do. So my goal is, I would like to consolidate and get everything out of the 8-foot freezer and get everything into the upright and into the 4-foot chest freezer. That way, fridge isn't even an issue, and the 8-foot can go into cooler mode so that I can then bring home some more pigs and have the comfort of being able to cool things down as I butcher them. Dry-aged steaks used to be a steakhouse-only indulgence. An old-world charcuterie was pricey due to being imported or created at a small batch-specific scale. Thanks to UmiDry, their synthetic dry-aging bags and casings allow you to create these meat-crafting treats in your own kitchen. Working in tandem with your fridge, the UmiDry bag material allows moisture and air to pass through, making it possible to dry-age large cuts of steaks or roasts. Paired with their curing and seasoning kits, along with safe and easy to follow instructions, salamis and dry sausage are well within your grasp. Use the link in the show notes and sign up for the newsletter to receive 10% off your order. UmiDry, helping us elevate our wild game from the home kitchen. So sorting is commenced. We are going to be then taking what I have and getting it either sorted into species or into cuts. That might be something you and your family need to work out. Maybe it's just cut specific. It doesn't matter species for you. Maybe you're just surprised with whatever you get. Maybe some of you like to keep things species specific, where you have a shelf of just pork, you have a shelf of upland birds and waterfowl, and then you have your deer on said third shelf. Maybe you just have one species that you seem to chase after and keep, then that just makes it easier on you. I think the way that I'm going to go with sorting is I am going to keep things fairly species specific, but at the same time, both are going to apply into the same organization of steak pieces and roast pieces. And then I think there's going to have to be a shelf specific for wobbly bits. I need a spot to go for tongues. I need liver to go into a spot. I got a big party package of hearts that I acquired from the group of guys that didn't want to keep their hearts. But to be able to take all of those wobbly bits and get those into, say, the bottom drawer, or to get that into one bin would just be helpful in when I'm looking to really get an adventure going. I can go right to that. Or if I'm making jerky, I know to look into my roast bin because I'm looking for those top rounds. I'm not searching for that missing top round. I've put him in that specific spot. So that's, again, I'm going to go with that sorting of steak pieces, roasts, and wobbly bits being on the bottom. Can that go even further? Absolutely. I mean, your roasts, like, where are my shanks going to go? I guess those are going to kind of go in their own category. I know I tried to do something where I had the shanks in the bottom corner of the 4-foot freezer, and it was merely I would pull that out of the cloth shopping bag that was there in the bottom. It had handles so I could pick it up, get what I needed, set it back in. I'd like to say that I've whittled down quite a bit of my shank inventory. But again, shanks are an odd cut. They're an odd looking piece. They're very oblong. They take far more space than what you would think. So one way I think of battling that is to be able to cook and then refreeze into a finished product that could be then taken to the next level. The other day, I decided to make some barbacoa. We were having tacos, And I thought, this is a great time to do that. So three packages of shanks. I had six shanks total. They were all the front ones, and those got put into a batch of barbacoa. We ended up having nachos and quesadillas and regular tacos. We enjoyed that, and then I put the rest into the fridge, and it sat there for a day. The next day I got back, I reheated it back up, and then I put it into individual vac bags. You can do this with your normal vac system that you've got for your kitchen, whether it be the vac seal or whatever you're using. I've got the chamber vac, and so that's what I'm using. So I went and I got a couple bags, and I portioned out 1 pound packages. And I was able to, off that little batch that I made, I was able to get 3 pounds, three packages right there at a pound. For our family, 1 pound's going to work good. If it's going to be, the ground goes a little quicker. Yeah, sometimes we're a 1 pound family. Sometimes we're a 2 pound. Barbacoa seems to go a little bit longer. The boys don't like nearly as much of that as like they do with the burger. So that barbacoa, we can stretch it out a little bit longer. So 1 pound does a really good job. So I was able to freeze it into uniform packages that then can be stored like either bricks, or those can be stored in a much smaller area. Taking oblong odd cuts and then cooking them down and then refreezing them, wonderful way in order to save space and save time. Up front, while you have the time to make a bigger batch than you normally would, that's just going to help you later down the road when you now need to make a quick meal. We got quick barbacoa. Along that pork side, in fact, sitting in my fridge right now doing a dry brine is a pork butt, one of the wild pork butts that I got last year, and that's going to get made into carnitas, essentially the pork version of barbacoa. We're going to be slow cooking that down, shredding that up, making sure that I keep as much of the braising juice as possible, make some carnitas for ourselves, package those up. And actually, I think two of those packages are going to head down into Oklahoma to, again, showcase what you can do with a wild pig. So we've talked a little bit about shorting by species and by cut. We've talked about a few ways to reduce the amounts that you have in your freezer, A, by being able to batch cook the odd cuts, you know, your shoulders, your blade roasts, your shanks, all of those are odd shapes. Go ahead and cook those down, rebag them, send them off their way. You could also, especially with more of it, as you grind it up, you could make freezer meals. You could do I've had a lasagna that I've been able to put into the freezer. It didn't last super long because we then utilized it as quick as I put it in there. I believe it, and it stayed like a week or so. But to have ready-made meals, easy to stack, easy to store, takes away from your quick inventory or your quick whatever you need to add into that freezer. Second way to help reduce it is just keep eating. if you need rid of it, well, hey, why waste it? Just enjoy it. Get those pieces that have been in there for quite a while. Maybe those ones that are giving you a headache, maybe it's time to just go ahead, dig in, and use them. Personally, I know I think I've saved enough liver that I need to get after that stuff. I know I saved my buck liver and I saved the doe liver from this past year. I neither need to make my liver mousse that's going to get turned into raviolis. I need to make the other liver recipe that I really like, and that's the boudin. I love boudin. I made the little fry balls, and being able to batch those up, freeze those up, that's a heck of a way to be able to use some organ meat. Access to your freezer. It's harder in a chest freezer than it is into an upright freezer. Upright can be quick and easy, but you have that avalanche effect. And I believe we've had an episode where I talked a little bit about this on how I ended up going. You go to your dollar store, you get those like Save-Rite bins, those plastic bins, and they fit in there just snug. Really easy to pull out, take what you need in, and then slide it back. In the case of when I had it frost all up on me, it holds that meat together so that once I finally can get that bin out, all the meat goes with it. I'm not having to chase packages that have frozen to the side of the place or that are stuck into the in between the rungs or in where the cooling unit is. Like, I don't have to start like jabbing in there and then end up puncturing the refrigerant line. That would just be bad. So it does keep things nice, compact, safe, and tight, away from getting into any dangerous situations. But having access to that in the deep freeze, you really got to be creative. I modified the 4-foot one to have one section where I can put a wire grate down, and that acts as a shelf. Still lets air pass back and forth, but now I was sticking things underneath, and then I could stick things on top using more of that available space. It has now since been kind of a shambles in there. I got a lot less underneath, and I got a lot more on top, and organizing needs to happen. That's just the way of life. It's entropy, where things just degrade over time if nothing else is applied to it. So that's where I need to help my access with that is, again, get back into that system that I created. On top of all of this effort just to sort and just to reduce and just to consolidate, besides all of that, what are you trying to do, Nick, other than just moving your food around, moving meat around just so that you know where it's at? By consolidating, by being able to clear out my 8-foot chest freezer of all of its contents, that's a big freezer that I don't have to power. That's a big freezer that I can unplug, thaw out, clean out, and just let sit on the standby and have everything else into the other two. A fuller freezer is going to do less work than one that is empty, because of the amount of cold sink. All of those pieces are frozen once I stick those in there, and the freezer does not have to work as hard to maintain that freezing temperature. If you give it airspace, if you give it space to warm up or at least have ambient air, that's going to start to fluctuate those temps, and that's going to kick that compressor on and off. That's going to kick the blower on and off, and that's just going to cost you more in the long run. Half of the bottom, I remember, of my 4-foot freezer, I actually have jugs of water. So when we would get done with the distilled water jug, I would then fill it with tap water, put the lid on it. I leave some space in the top of that for expansion, so you're not blowing these things up, but and then put, filling that with water and then sticking those down into the bottom of the freezer. It acts as a heat sink so that, or a cold sink, basically holding all that cold air and not letting the freezer have to fluctuate as much. At the same time, I really like a jug of ice over a bag of ice. I got a solid block that I'm putting into a cooler, and that's going to last a lot longer than just a bag. I also like that now I've got tap water in there, and as that thing thaws out, I now have a gallon's worth of drinking water that I have right there that I brought as my immediate ice. But now that's able to go with us, and it lasts a long time. On our camping trip, on our camper, we've now got a nice size freezer where I can actually put a jug in, and I keep that jug in there frozen, and then we have our outside cooler. So I just swap the jugs, once a day I switch those out. That way I get a fresh frozen jug of water that's going into the cooler that sits outside, keeping the cool drinks, and then the other one goes into the freezer at that point to be reused. But I like using that process. So I know that those are probably going to come out as I go through and I consolidate and really pack that 4-foot chest freezer to the brim. Again, fuller freezer is going to mean less work for that freezer, and that's going to mean a better quality to your meat that it won't have the chance to like thaw, freeze. The less you got to do that, the better off that it's going to be. So that, yeah, that kind of sums up what I'm doing. I'm trying to get myself organized so that I can go chase spring hogs in Oklahoma. You may have that sort of story. You may also have the spring turkey story. And I had a previous episode where we talked all about what I'm going to do or what would be recommended to do to get the most out of that turkey. I really leaned heavily upon my domestic skill on that. And I really think that that's going to bring a lot of wealth of knowledge, and that's going to bring a lot of applicable lessons and some hot tips that you can take for your turkey that you get this year. Plucking it, getting the most out of it, not just going and breasting it out, but getting the dark meat, it will pay off dividends. Part of our pursuit of our meat is it does take a little bit of extra work on our end, but at the same time, it's extra work that I personally love. When I get to be fully involved in the acquisition and the processing of my meals, it makes it okay that I get to put that in freezers and then go and sort it back out. It's okay to me that I can then make a larger batch of something that I really enjoy and save it for those days where I don't have time to cook or to braise or to babysit anything, that it's merely thaw, heat, and eat. That's a wonderful thing that you can have when it comes to your wild game, is just being able to take things that next level. So folks, whether you're going to be chasing those birds very soon, or like yourself, like me, I'm going to be getting myself put together and chasing hogs, whatever you're doing, make sure the knife that you're using is very sharp.